if you service your customers in the best way possible, so you have good prices and or competitive prices, and you have great service, and you have knowledge that you can share with your customers, those customers are going to reward your efforts by continuing to support your business and your future success.
Welcome to Common Roots, an Infra podcast.
And I'm your host, Haley Craig.
Independent natural food retailers are as diverse and unique as the communities they serve. From urban to rural, East Coast to West Coast, small to large, there's one thing that these stores have in common: a deep commitment to providing healthy foods to their communities. In celebration of Infra's 20th anniversary, we're handing over the mic to 20 Infra members to share their challenges and triumphs in navigating the world of natural food retail. Are our common roots really so common? Let's find out. Today, we are joined by Michael and Emily Chase from Chase's Market, and this is their story. Thank you for joining us today, Emily and Michael. Do you just want to start off by introducing both of you and telling us a little bit about your store?
For sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having us, Haley. Thank you.
So my name is Michael Chase, and I co-own and operate Chase's Market in Ontario, Oregon. We are a small format health food store right on the Idaho border. Ontario is the economic hub for about 20 small communities on both sides. We've been in that location. We've been operating in Ontario since about 1957.
And I'm Emily Chase. Michael and I work together in the store. We retail out of 1,800 square feet. So we are a small store in Ontario.
And so when did Chase's Market join Infra, and what motivated you to become a member?
So we joined Infra in 2016, and it was our Natural Factors rep at the time, Miranda Onspa. And she was on her, usual route through town, and she stopped and we were talking, and she said, there's this great association of stores called Infra. I know a few independents in Oregon that have joined. I think it would be something, you should maybe look into. And I was like, well, what is this? So I looked Infra up online, found the website, and I told Michael, I'm like, we need to join this. This is exactly made for us.
Right. And I remember our first share group was in Lake Chelan, Washington. And it was something like we had never experienced before. It was a great experience.
Yeah, because you finally find a community.
Yes.
You feel so alone so much of the time. And so when you start to commune with other stores that are facing similar challenges or different challenges than what you're dealing with, you're going, okay, this is normal.
Yeah, we found our people.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, I would love to know a little bit more about the specific area you're in. You kind of touched on that, but could you just tell me a little bit about the makeup of your neighborhood and, if you have a lot of other small businesses in the area, or is there a lot of corporate competition, big box stores, things like that?
So Ontario, Oregon is a rural area.
Yes.
Eastern Oregon. We don't have any really direct competition in terms of health food stores, natural food grocers. Obviously, we compete, with online vendors.
I think online is our...
Online probably would be our largest competitive pressure. We do have some conventional grocery stores that carry natural organic. That's, everybody's familiar with. And like I said, there are probably 15 to 18 small communities on the Idaho side and about 10 to 11 small communities on the Oregon side that come into Ontario because it's the economic center for that particular region. We're about 50 miles from Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, and one of the kind of the calling cards for Ontario, because we're on the Idaho border, we have a lot of people from Idaho drive to Ontario to shop because they can save on sales tax. We have dispensaries. We have, a Walmart, Home Depot, Wearmart that, you can do a lot of shopping at and save on sales tax. So it is desirable for Idahoans to come over and shop in Ontario.
And so as you kind of mentioned, and something that really sticks out is that Chase's Market is a third generation store. And I think you said you started 1957?
1956, yes.
1956. So yeah, just an incredible legacy that you have. So could you just share about what it means to continue this tradition and how your approach to natural food retailing has evolved while also staying true to those original family values?
Right. So I'm the third generation of my family to operate a health food store. So as a child, my mother would take me with her when she visited our locations. I sort of grew up in the stores. I got to know the employees. And over time, I developed an interest in nutrition, particularly nutrition science. And of course, as we all know, generational family businesses have a high failure rate. And we were really no exception to that. When my father took over operations in the 70s, you know, he lacked the business acumen to grow and develop the company in a changing retail landscape. So unfortunately, financial mismanagement combined with some personal and psychological problems he was experiencing led to our company shrinking from 5 locations to 1, which is our current location in Ontario. Not wanting to see our company fail, you know, because of the history that I had with the stores growing up, I came back to begin the process of sort of resurrecting the market. So our approach to natural products retailing has always been to provide the, quote, gold star customer service in a welcoming and family environment. And that's what my grandfather did, basically, to build the business, one customer at a time, personalizing and customizing the shopping experience. And I think this is what really makes us unique. Emily and I continue this tradition, but obviously now we have to navigate more complex, and more complex technology. You know, examples would be our rewards and loyalty program, our ability to educate customers about nutrition with quick access to more sources of information now than my grandfather had. And then, of course, working with vendors that are more committed to nutrition science research. You know, back then, it was vitamin C tablets and protein tablets, and there was no nutrition science really associated with those products. So, yeah, the technology has changed, but the approach is the same.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. And yeah, that's something I also noticed is you have a dietitian on staff, also other services like health coaches, a doula, et cetera, which I just find really unique and interesting. So could you share a little bit more about the role those practitioners play in serving your store and the community and how they kind of enhance that customer experience?
Yeah, we're really unique in that we're the only health food store in our region and possibly the Pacific Northwest. Don't quote me on that. Number one, we have a credentialed nutritionist on staff who completed graduate level work at an accredited university.
Which is you.
Which is me.
Yeah.
We also have a health coach, we have a life coach, and we have a doula. And we have two nutritional therapy practitioners.
Yeah, Mike and I are both nutritional.
Yeah, you're both nutritional therapy practitioners.
Went through that program.
So obviously, all of us use our combined knowledge to address customers' health and nutrition questions.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because the health coach, which is Timmy, and then our doula, Kaylee, who also manages the market, they found us. So those skills kind of found our store. We were just very lucky to have the type of staff that we have with the knowledge that they have.
Yeah, and obviously our education allows us to do research for customers as well. Mm-hmm. You know, if we don't necessarily know the answer when they come in, we can get their contact information, we can research for them, and then provide that information to them. So we're taking it 2 or 3 steps beyond just, you know, reading out of a book.
We facilitate solutions for people. A lot of times, you know, someone will have an issue and they'll come in and they just want to know, what do you think I should do? And, you know, we can't prescribe or diagnose, but they trust you enough to say, what would you do if you were in this situation, or how would you approach this health issue? So that, I mean, it's very flattering how often we have customers come in just wanting to know what our opinion is.
Yeah, and we give, you know, instead of just giving customers a cursory knowledge of something, you know, we can take a deeper dive because of our education and training.
For sure.
And yeah, make sure they get accurate, honest information.
Yeah, you're kind of taking the customer from
start to finish with a problem and a solution, which I think is what makes it so unique, especially in the world of, you know, wellness supplements. A lot of times people are coming in with the issue and you're providing a potential solution. But with this, you're kind of with them through that whole journey, which I think is really interesting. So, Emily, you recently became a board member of Infra in 2024. So I would love to know what motivated you to join the board and how you have found that experience so far.
Right. So the board has always been something that kind of interested me. And it is something that I've watched over the last few years with Miley's, lovely Miley's, terming out this past year. You know, the board communicated pretty directly what representation they were looking for. And I felt like in many ways that I checked a lot of those boxes. So it was an opportunity that presented itself to me. I also looked at it like, you know, I've got nothing to lose. So let's go for it. Let's see what happens. And I have loved the experience so far. I'm so glad I did it. I would encourage folks to give it a go. There's really nothing to lose except for a bit of time, which really is minuscule as the process goes. I think one of my favorite things about being on the board, and I've only been to a few board meetings, so, you know, I'm not a weathered board member, but it's observing how each board member looks at situations. They're so thoughtful, and I appreciate that. I love seeing the different perspectives. It's also a bit like being on a team quarterly, and I enjoy that aspect. I enjoy that environment of, you know, the collective board coming together and furthering the development of Infra.
Okay, great. And so just to talk on more of a macro level, I would love to know from both of you about what is one or some of the most valuable lessons that you have learned in your time running your business.
Well, for me, if you service your customers in the best way possible, so you have good prices and or competitive prices, and you have great service, and you have knowledge that you can share with your customers, those customers are going to reward your efforts by continuing to support your business and your future success. So I think that's one of the most important things I've learned. Take care of your customers and they will take care of you. You know, I think I've often said that if you do it right, you're going to have a customer for life. And generally that customer is going to, on average, tell 10 other people. So yeah, that's one of the most important things I've learned.
And I have more of a pessimistic view, I guess, of it. Just joking. No, I think I've learned a couple things. You will always have problems, no matter what. You're going to have problems. There is a point, though, when you have to choose what problems you want to have. So looking at, you know, do I want this as a problem? Do I not? Because you're never going to escape having problems in business. There will always be something that presents itself that's a challenge, and it's choosing what problems you want to have. So that's one of them. And then I think the other thing for me is that you have to continue to progress and change and evolve in one way or another. And that isn't something that's only limited to size. Systems within your store, it's your ordering, it's your product mix, it's the way you lead your staff. If you look at our business today from what it was even last year, 2 years ago, yes, the core of it is the same business, but the way we do things is completely different than how we approached it a couple of years ago. So you have to continue to progress, to innovate, to do something to better your business. Always be evaluating your systems and what you're doing.
Well, especially in this industry as well, which is so ever-changing every day. So yeah, being adaptable is key. And Michael, I also wanted to talk about something you mentioned about kind of having that those customers for life and building those connections. Do you have kind of a core set of customers that you have known in your time running the business? I mean, I'm sure you've been open for generations. Do you kind of have that core group of people?
Oh, absolutely. We see a lot of the same people, and these are people that I began working with decades ago. And it's really great to see them on their health journey. You know, I'm always available to consult with them about their health care and nutrition needs. And it's great, you know, and some of these customers, they'll share their life story with you, you know. And so I've gotten to know a lot of people over the years, and that's very rewarding for me, particularly rewarding when they are, when I can see that their health is improving because of what, how we're educating them and the products that they're purchasing from us. It's very rewarding to see them, you know, either overcome a health challenge or just generally get healthier.
I mean, 5-star Google reviews are amazing, but for him, I feel like when I see a customer come in the market and they say to him, oh my gosh, this helped me so much. Thank you. I really appreciate you helping me with this issue. I mean, it's, he's like, oh, it just makes his whole day.
It's very rewarding and it makes it, you know, all the difficult times worth it.
Okay, well, that is a perfect segue to my next question, which is from both of you, I'd love to know something that you love about the natural foods industry.
You know, I think for me, the cost of pursuit of nutrition science within our industry, you know, nutrition science, it's a complicated science. It's kind of dismissed in, you know, in a lot of other medical research communities, but we're always moving forward with new innovations in nutrition science. Also the efforts to change how we deliver medical care. I think that this industry champions integrative functional medicine and naturopathy. And, you know, every effort that's made to do that, I applaud because we need to change the delivery of medical care in this country. It's broken. And then just the raw integration and creativity of the industry. You know, as an industry, I think it's, you know, it's really different than a lot of other industries and how creative we can be, particularly in the efforts that companies make to produce cleaner, healthier food and to support regenerative agriculture and, you know, healthier ways that we can grow food.
And I agree with everything Michael just communicated. I also kind of look at this as, I mean, I completely agree with what he said, but I kind of look at it too from the scope of what do I love about infra? And I know it's a kind of side quest for the question, but I love how unique all of our stores are, but how we come together with this common goal of serving our communities, our local communities. It was last year's infra conference when KeHE CEO Deb was giving her talk about the challenges that infra stores create because we're all so different. And so it's hard to know, it's hard to anticipate all of our individual needs. I love that. It's kind of a David and Goliath story, if you will. We're all out here in these streets throwing 7 different kinds of smoke. And so I love our community. Yeah, I have a deep appreciation for our association.
I love that. Wonderful. And just to touch on products a little bit, what are some of your favorite local or unique products that you carry in Chase's Market?
So we have a hummus that's,
yeah, that's delicious.
Unbelievable. You know, I've had a lot of hummus throughout my life. And this is by far the freshest, best tasting hummus I've ever had. It's called Humana Hummus. It's out of Boise. We bring it in, sells really, really well. We also, I've just started working with a rancher that's supplying us with a hamburger that's just
ground beef.
It's that's
delicious.
Just exceptional.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Michael and Emily. Is there anything else you would like to share before we wrap up?
One thing I would mention is that we do engage in community outreach as much as possible. We offer, you know, nutrition-related educational seminars. We also speak at various clubs and business organizations, sharing our nutrition knowledge. And then I've written several articles for local newspapers. We try to partner with organizations that, you know, use and appreciate our nutrition knowledge. So it's great to get out in the community and share what we know and educate people because there is such a void there. And there's a lot, of course, misinformation about nutrition. So anytime we can get out and help people understand nutrition, it's really rewarding.
Thank you for tuning in to Common Roots. This episode has been made possible thanks to the hard work of Infra staff and Infra member contributors. To learn more about the retailers we serve, visit our retailer directory at naturalfoodretailers.com/retailer-directory.